Hey everybody, how's your world going? Mine's been pretty good, but welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network. And I'll tell you what, Chat GPT can be fun. I think I saw myself. Yeah, I had some fun with that today. I don't play on the computer all that much, but anyhow, guys. Welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network. And we have a guest tonight. And Quentin will be back visiting us again for part three on data centers. And we'll talk a little bit about energy on that tonight. But before we get going, I have to do a disclaimer. If not, the big boss will get after me. Well, not really. Anyhow, nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim any and all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out and enjoy the show. Hey, tell your friends about us too, because we're live every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So, whoa, what else is going on other than snow? Boy, this snow business is getting out of hand. I can't wait until spring finally comes. I hope the Punxsutawney Phil and Buckeye Chuck are, well, they compromise. Maybe we'll only have 4 weeks more of snow. Okay. Well, hey, with that, guys, I always have to talk about a couple of places because if I don't talk about Trim Radio Network and what we do and some of the presenters, the big boss might, no, he won't scream. He won't scream. He might yell. No, he won't. Anyhow, I'm just having fun with you guys. We have the Fab Four right here on the Trim Radio Network and at trimradio.com. We have Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. He's responsible for the overall mission, vision, and leadership and performance of the entire company. We have Raskala Stefan, our computer guru. He's the chief operating officer, and he's responsible for the day-to-day operational management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And then we have me, the chief relationship officer, responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success, whatever that is. I still haven't figured out what I do here. Maybe I just make people happy. Anyhow, then we have Victoria Smith, and she's the chief marketing officer. She's responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. And besides that, I want to tell you what, guys, Michael Bejas has his own shows. Raskala Stefan has his own show. I have my shows, and Victoria Smith has hers. And Victoria Smith, she is a specialist in marketing and promotion. You have to talk to her. If you have a fraternity or a sorority, or you have a club or a business, she's the person to talk to. And she will help you increase your business. I'll tell you what, she's excellent. And she has her own show too. What else is going on? Well, gee whiz, our shows. We have to talk about our shows. And if we don't talk about our shows, well, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. Those are generally live unless I have to play a concert, and our spring and summer concert schedule hasn't been announced yet. So I might have probably three or four, maybe five concerts I have to participate in during the spring and summer. So we will give you advance notice on that. Also, we have Life Walk with Christ God, and that's with Michael Bejas, and that's Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, right here at Wednesday at 8 p.m. And then we have Victoria Smith, the Natural Marketer podcast, and she's on Thursdays. We also have Michael Bejas and friends. He does Offsides College Football Top 25. Then we have the Positude Podcast on Friday at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, we have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend at 1 p.m. And then at 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. And then, gee whiz, Saturday night from 9 to midnight, we have Rascal Stefan, and he's doing the Red Pill Reality Show. We also have Revelation with Peter Kling. I've known Peter for probably 10 years. And he has an excellent show, and he will be listed, and you'll be able to see his show. Also, we have Dora Sherry is coming up with Let's Talk About It. And I've seen some of the graphics that she's been working on, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be a good show. You have to check it out. If you want to do your own show, or you want to contact us, all you have to do is find this little red dot over here on the right side of the screen, and you click on it. And it says, how may we help you today? You put your name in, you put your phone number in, and then you just fill out the box. And it says, I want to know more, well, about doing your own show. You can do it. I mean, if I can press the buttons and set things up on my show, you can do it on yours. It's a no-brainer. Well, sometimes. I have little snafus from time to time. But anyhow. You can easily do it. Trust me. We use StreamYard, and it's very easy format. Anyhow, put down what you want to do. If you want to contact us, you say, hey, I want to contact Stu. Forward this on. Here's my email address. Here's my phone number. And they'll send that to me, and I will get a hold of you. Okay? If you want to appear on the show, that's fine. Just fill that box out. And then once all that's all filled out, hit send message. We'll get the message, and we'll contact you, okay? So we have these three blank spaces, and two are filled. Who wants to do another show on their own? We can do more shows than just the three that are blank here. We can actually add on quite a lot of shows, and we like to do original shows, and we like to have fun doing the shows. Now, hey, how can you support us? It's real easy. You can either donate to Trim Radio Network, or you can buy the merchandise, or you can advertise. And our advertising rates are very, very reasonable. The money that we get from selling merchandise or donations or advertising goes to pay for airtime, because airtime is not cheap. None of us get paid for doing our shows. We really don't want to be paid for doing our shows. We want to be able to help people. And, you know, our motto is we cut the bull and serve the truth. Well, sometimes I like to have fun on the show, so I have to kind of skirt around that one. And, but basically, we're all straight shooters here, okay? So you have to check us out now. Wow. Here's the merchandise. We've got t-shirts. We've got hats. We've got mugs with labels not showing. We have t-shirts. We have insulated travel mugs. Those are really good mugs, by the way. And, of course, then we also have the ceramic mugs. We have the Offsides College Football Top 25 Premium Pique Polo shirts. We also have t-shirts. And on page two, guess what? We've got mugs. We've got hats. We've got round mouse pads. I don't think you'll be able to corner the mouse there. Anyhow, what happens if you have more than one mouse on a mouse pad? Does that make it a mice pad? Anyhow, then we also have the Trim Creator Studio embroidered, I'll be able to talk soon, beanies. And those are good beanies. Also, if you have AirPods and you need a case for them, hey, we sell the cases. And that protects your AirPods, okay? You don't want to lose your AirPods. And I've got a set that are not AirPods, and I constantly lose them for some reason. They're always around somewhere in a pocket or whatever. I need to get one of those cases. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah. Hey, our Facebook page. And there it did it again. I had it all set up and it decided to change on me. Well, here it is. And this is where I end up putting a lot of stuff for the show. Right now it's a private group. It will go public. If you want to join the group, send me an email and I will get you in the group. Just give me your email address. Okay. And we can do that. But what do I do? Well, we have our thing about data centers, and we're going to talk about those. And we're going to have a little bit of fun before we get started on data centers. Also, hey, there I am. I almost look like Rush Limbaugh. Well, kind of. And what we do underneath, I will post the show on our page. Also in the comment section, I have all the things that we're going to talk about. I do the same thing with money and change. And so anyhow, check us out. Okay, just ask to get in the group and I'll send a notification out to you like I did everybody else today before the show. Okay, all it is my world, live, laugh, and whatever. Just put down my world and search it up on Facebook. Well, before we get going here, I have to talk about the University of Findlay. www.findlay.edu. Your success is our priority. And they have a very good university. You want to check them out. It's 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio, 4,700 students plus. Might have maybe 4,800. They're from 40 states and 41 different countries. It's one of Ohio's 10 most affordable colleges, according to Money Magazine. Best Midwestern colleges of 2025, Princeton Review. And then the best colleges in America in 2024 with Money Magazine. They have three campuses in Findlay, Ohio, and Findlay is an all-American city. And I'll tell you what, they've got a lot of stuff to do there, but the University of Findlay has the Hazardous Materials Campus, they have the Equestrian Campus, and they have pre-veterinary studies there, and they also have the main campus. A lot of very nice facilities. And if you're into sports, they have a very good NCAA Division II sports school. And they did very well in football this year. And they're doing fairly well in basketball too, as well as other sports. They've got swimming, they've got tennis, they've got lacrosse, you name it, they've got it. Check it out, except for Tiddlywinks. They don't have Tiddlywinks. But check out the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Okay. Hey, here's a little fun before we get going. I saw this on Facebook and I thought, I've got to get the link and put this on here. It's about small towns. And this gal is kind of funny. She has a whole bunch of videos. I'm just going to go ahead and play it here if I can get it going. Whoops, and turn on the sound.
Everybody here is either related or dated, or both if you go back far enough. Somebody's always getting arrested, and somebody's always saying, well, I saw that coming. We don't use GPS. We say turn right where the possum used to lay flat in the road. If you go to the ER here in town, everybody's going to know what's wrong with you before you get home. Now, whose kid is that? Well, you know, her mama used to date his daddy's cousin. They call him Shine on account of he makes moonshine. Cops ain't got to ruin your plate. They already know who you are. Did y'all see who's parked at her house last night? We don't need Google. We got Brenda down at the salon. She knows everything. You can't do nothing around here without it ending up on the Facebook. There's more cows than people around here. They're better company sometimes anyway. If you don't wave when you pass somebody, you will get talked about. You have to be careful who you're talking about. Odds are you're sitting by one of their cousins. Well, that's Joe's truck, but that ain't him driving it. Let me call his mama real quick. You need to find somebody. You check the Mexican restaurant or the ball field. They're going to be at one of the two. Girl, I knew you was pregnant before you did. Cheryl down at the pharmacy told you.
Just like small towns, isn't it? Emma is something else. I've seen a bunch of her videos and I just have a tendency to laugh at all of them. And sometimes they're all true. Well, anyhow, guys, that's so much for the fun tonight. We've got Quentin Koger Kid is going to join us, and he's from Wilmington, Ohio, in that area. And we are going to be talking about different things about power for data centers and a lot of other requirements. I was looking at one of the things that I received because I'm on the power board, actually power and utility board for our city, and I get American Public Power magazine, and I get it every month. And I was looking at different things and trying to search different things. And it's a good magazine. It has a lot of stuff in there, but they were talking about data centers. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to get that on there. And developer proposes natural gas plant to serve data center in Ohio. They were talking about that. They were talking about other things with data centers. Total Energies to supply Google data center operations under renewable energy PPA. All kinds of interesting things. And I'm with this situation with Sidney, Ohio, Pickwell, Ohio, and now Wilmington, Ohio, everybody is wondering what's going on because Sydney is getting a very large plot of land for a data center. And then we've got Pickwa is going to have now two data centers, from what I'm hearing. And Wilmington has quite a bit of land set up, and they're going to be having a lot of talk down there about data centers because they are doing their research. I don't think Pickwa really did their research, and I'm not sure about Sydney. So we're going to talk a little bit more, and I'll tell you what, we've got Quentin just popped in here, and I have to put him on the stage too. There he is. There's the man of the hour. Well, almost an hour. You got your mic?
All right, I got my mic on.
All right, there we go.
And I'm having a little bit of problem with volume here.
Your
I'm
volume's
having
fine.
problems hearing you, Stu.
You're having problems hearing me?
Yeah, I'm not hearing you real well.
Well, turn up your volume. How does that work?
And I have my volume all the way up. Can you hear
Well,
me?
yeah, I can hear you fine. It must be the electric
Is there
lines.
another way to control volume on here?
No, you're using your phone.
Because I'm
So,
using the volume on my phone.
yeah, you're coming in fine.
Oh, let's see.
Isn't electronics
Ah,
wonderful?
I found it.
You found it.
Yeah, I can hear. I could barely tell that you were talking. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I was telling everybody, we had a little comedy thing before the show, and we were talking about small towns. And it's the Emma Family show that's on Facebook, and she's typical Southern lady that spoofs everything, and she's funny, she really is, and she's fairly accurate too. But anyhow, we were talking about that, and then I said, we were going to talk about data centers and power and everything. And I said, I was looking through one of my magazines that I get, and they were talking about power requirements for data centers. And I noticed that you had published something on data centers and power and other things. And I think that's what we're going to talk about tonight, isn't it?
That would be fine. I did a post today talking about, you know, once again, the Wilmington specific data center, because I have a little bit of numbers. And the site plan says there's 252 diesel generators there. And 252 generators. And they're roughly between 2,500 and 3,000 megawatts per generator. And I can't even do the math there. Let's just take 3 times 250. So we're talking, you know, 300 plus, or is it
300?
Yeah, it's a lot. And each one of those generators requires roughly 10,000 gallons of diesel a day. And so now you have 252 of those. They need 10,000 gallons of diesel a day. And you're looking at needing on-site storage of around 2.5 million gallons of diesel for 3 days of usage. And that's out there. And, you know, I had the calculations on the post that I did on this. Right. And I went out to industry standards, looked at, you know, how much does a generator burn? And it gives me the hourly consumption, and then just, you know, did the math out. I used to work for an oil company. I have been on top of those tanks more than one time. I was an operations auditor, so we go out and check field operations, and I had to know what they were doing. And, you know, there's safety concerns with that. So when you're going out in the oil field, they teach you this stuff. And it's things such as they measure the oil in a tank with a metal tape. Now, what happens when you rub two unlike materials together? What do you get?
A reaction.
Static electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's not ground, when you have oil stored, it gives off a vapor. So in between the oil and the top of the tank, there's going to be a vapor later. So you have a chance for a big reaction. And that's one of the things that you have to be concerned about. Yeah, there's 2.5 million gallons of diesel being stored. It's going to be split among, you know, 250 day tanks and then, you know, some central storage. But, and I've been looking at this for a while, trying to figure out I became aware of a new publication guideline is the Emergency Management Guidebook. And then it starts talking about setbacks. How far do you have to be from something? You know, if an accident should happen, how far do you have to do shelter in place? How far do you have to do an evacuation? How far will the plume travel? So basically, you know, standard, most planners say like 500 feet. Well, once you start dealing with that much volume, you're talking about a half mile that you need to be away and evacuate, which is right about where the elementary school is from the edge of the project.
And can the fire department put it out if it caught fire?
And can the fire department put out? You know, so you're not only talking the diesel, you're also talking the lithium batteries that are there. And I don't mean to fearmonger on this. You know, it's a low risk operation. No, it's not likely to happen. I had an engineer talk to me, an engineer friend. He said, you hope for the best and plan for the worst. That's what the Emergency Management Guide says or helps you do. And it's put out by the federal government, Department of Transportation. And I forget what the other long acronym stands for, but it's, you know, how do you handle hazardous materials? But those are the sort of things that you need to plan for, and you need to plan for them before you finalize the site plan. You know, because once you tell them where they can put their buildings, that's what you're dialed into.
Well, and what's getting me is that recently I was hearing in Piqua they're going to have a second data center.
And so are we in Wilmington.
Yeah, so you get these data centers and you have to have a large amount of diesel stored.
Yes.
And distributed and so forth. Can the local fire departments handle that? What happens if there's a leak and it goes into the Miami River or it goes into the Little Miami River?
Okay. For us, the watershed goes to the Little Miami River. Right. So, you know, we have two creeks, one that flows directly into Cowan Lake from the data center. It's about a 2 mile as the crow flies. So it meanders a little bit. And then there's three sub basins there, three drainages, and the other two sub basins drain into a creek that feeds into Todd's Fork, that feeds into the Little Miami River. It's about a total distance of about, I think, 18, 20 miles, something like that, that it has to go. But oil will travel that far, and you have to be concerned about how's the wastewater treated on this. But just to give you some idea of the scale, we're all familiar with East Palestine, right?
Oh, right.
How many rail cars did that involve?
I can't even remember. It was a lot.
I think it was like 23, if I remember right. At least that's what it told me today. And I just saw it once and then I didn't go back and verify. But 23 rail cars. Each rail car holds, a couple. And then 50, 60,000 gallons. So you're talking diesel. You're talking a little over 80 rail cars full of diesel, which is about four times as many rail cars as what was involved in East Palestine. Now you're talking about different chemicals, but that just, today what my objective was to show some idea of the scale. When you tell someone something is 2.5 million gallons, unless you've actually seen it, you have no concept about how much that actually is.
Now, so, is there a rail spur there that would be able to supply the diesel?
Wilmington has a railroad track going through it. I think there is a railroad track actually just across US 68 from it. However, there is not a rail spur that I'm aware of. The only rail spur that I'm aware of is up on the north side of Wilmington, where TimberTech is. And that's the only one that I'm aware of that I've actually seen. And then the next ones, because I was looking to see how the equipment would get in. And the other one, next closest one's down, I think, on State Highway 28 in that area. Mm-hmm. Actually getting closer to the Mount Orab type area down there, which also has their own data center issues. So that's what I was looking at today. I've been looking at this, trying to get some sort of idea. We've been asking the question, how are you handling your emergency planning? And we're getting back, well, that's not my job. And on the other side, well, we aren't asking that question yet. We're just doing site planning.
Now, see, what you're doing down there is what we should have been doing up here. This was all kept hush, 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 hush. And then finally they said, oh, the data center's coming in. And next thing you know, they had, one city commission meeting about it, or maybe two, that was out in the mm-hmm. public end of it. And next thing you know, oh, we have to pass this as an emergency to get it through because it was bringing in some money. So that's what was going on here. And everybody down in Wilmington is doing this very methodically. You know, they're talking about it. They're seeing what they need to consider on all this whole proposition before it's done.
Well, there's a group, I have my own Facebook page where I've been handling governance issues for some time, speaking on those, but there's a data center specific group which overlaps with the work that I have been doing, and it's the Wilmington Residents for Responsible Development. And they have done an amazing job. Jessica Smart got the group started up, and she's young and does an amazing, you know, it's herding cats sometimes, and she does an amazing job. And we had a town hall meeting Sunday about it, and you hear all of the expertise that's actually within the community and how that's leveraged. My particular expertise is around governance because I'm a former elected official. I used to make these land use decisions. It wasn't in Ohio, but it's the same process. You would expect the same sort of things to be done. It may be a different part of the state statute that covers it, but it's covered somewhere. And it's just a matter of finding that out and holding them accountable. The NDAs are a very questionable practice. And the earliest dated NDA that we found was from January of 2024. And that was with the Port Authority, who's the city's economic development agent. And then about 3 weeks later, there was the public service director who signed one. So all of these negotiations and updating of ordinances was happening without clear input by the citizens into it. The Planning Commission didn't even know the reason behind the updates that they were making to zoning codes and things like that. And and when that happens, you've lost informed deliberation. The people who were either appointed to make a decision or elected to make a decision didn't have the information. So in December of 2024, an update was made to exempt generators from noise requirements. Now, one of the planning commissions in the planning commission meeting before last mentioned, I didn't know this was going to be for a data center generator. I thought it was going to be for people's backyard generators. So when you're using NDAs to conceal information from decision makers, that's a major problem. So that was passed in December. Around June, July time period, they updated the zoning to the light industrial zoning to allow data centers. Once again, they literally pulled the definition out of Wikipedia. And, and that definition would have been good for maybe 15 years ago for an enterprise type. It does not reflect the scale of data centers today. But once again, the people making the decisions hadn't been told why. There were staff members who knew why, but that information was not shared with the people making the decisions. The city council members weren't told what was going on until they signed an NDA October 2nd of 2025, which was after they had approved change the definition of light zoning, exempted generators from noise controls, annexed in 471 acres, changed the zoning from residential to industrial. They did all that without ever being disclosed to them what they were approving. So it wasn't just the citizens who were misled. We have our appointed officials who weren't given all of the information that they needed to make an informed decision to have an informed deliberation. But we have that amazing group of people who in there got started digging into it and finding out this information, and they started holding these people accountable What got things going was a thing called a CRA agreement, and it's basically an enterprise type zone where you can give an abatements for tax and they make a payment in lieu. And they said the schools have to sign this so they make sure they get some money and they don't lose any of their money from the state. And that's all they told them. That's all they told the school board when they voted on this. You know, the issue is much more complex about that than just sign this or you won't have funding.
It seems like to me, it's like raising mushrooms. You know, you keep them in the dark and feed them plenty of, you know what.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not sure that that was going on here because I wasn't privy to it. But I'll tell you what, more than likely it happened here too, because I did have to sign some NDAs.
And I looked at the NDAs and I'm concerned when I look at the NDAs, whether or not, in particular, the council members and even the staff had proper legal guidance, because I have a new camera stand. My Great Dane got the cord for my other one wrapped around her and went running and across the room. It did not survive. So this is the first time using this one. So I'm not sure that they had the legal advice that they had, because under Ohio law, the law director has to review every agreement as to form. And the law director did not, or the acting law director, did not sign an NDA until the same date as the council members, October 2nd, 2025. And there was no, you know, you've seen agreements and where you have a signature line that says approved to as to form. Mm-hmm. That wasn't on there. There was no acknowledgement or attestation that a lawyer had reviewed that before it was signed.
Now, would that make that null and void eventually if they took it to court?
Potentially. You know, you get into a lot of nuances there. And understand, I am not an attorney.
Neither am I.
But it is certainly questionable about that. I actually have that issue going on in another item with the city, unrelated, that there were not signatures obtained from those city's law director before a contract was entered. You know, it's just, when this first started and I first heard about it back middle of November, I sent our council members and a mayor an email, and I told them, this is beyond your expertise. This is beyond the expertise of anyone that's on your staff. You need to bring in outside experts to help you navigate through this so you know what you're reviewing and what you're approving. And I had worked with some of these people when I was involved in politics out in California. I gave them a name of a nationally recognized firm that could have helped them with this. You know, it's small town. They're used to making their decisions. I'm the newcomer, and who am I to tell them what they should be doing?
Well, it's like around here, I think the only legal staff they have around here is Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That was one a friend of mine that was always saying. I said, I have a new attorney. And I said, who is it? And he said, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on Facebook and in social media, you get a lot of comments about whose pocket is being lined. I don't see where anyone is getting any money out of this Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things that I'm concerned about being conflicts of interest that I'm following up on. But I haven't seen any of that. You know, one of the ways that you would expect is through campaign contributions. And I went out and pulled the donation records for Wilmington. There's nothing out there in that matter. More of this is, I've been here for five generations. This person that's asking me to do this is my first cousin. He's a good guy. I trust him. We'll just go ahead and take care of it. You know, it's not malicious. It's just been more of a, well, that's the way we've always done things around here.
Where, a handshake.
Yeah, a nod and a handshake is pretty much. So I'm, you know, have you ever heard of Hanlon's Razor? You've heard of OPAMS, right? Okay, Hanlon's Razor says, don't ascribe to dishonesty, which could be explained by stupidity.
Uh-huh.
And that's the situation I feel like we're in here, and not so much corruption as in a lack of sophistication on knowing how to deal with these things. I don't see a malicious, you know, from most of the officials, I don't see a maliciousness on that. And it's sort of like, well, yeah, we need to keep this a secret because we don't want to lose this business. No, that's not what the law says. This is what the law says you're supposed to do.
Yep, you have to follow the rules. And if you don't, you could really jeopardize the whole thing.
Right. And, you know, and what's going on with this, if you don't follow the rules, it jeopardizes the whole process, and it doesn't matter whether it passes or it doesn't pass, because if you don't follow the rules, the losing side has the grounds to appeal, and you could potentially have to start over again.
Well, and now there's some talk in Columbus that there's going to be some legislation coming out on data centers.
Yes.
As far as, you know, power usage and the way that they're operating and so forth. And it was introduced, I believe, a few days ago, probably like last week or maybe the beginning of this week. They posted it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting, because some of the stuff that I've been reading is that people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we got to take a good second, third, and fourth look at these data centers, because they may not be good for the environment. They may not be good for people living around them. The power requirements are going to be excessive. And can we meet the power requirements? Can we meet the water requirements? And what happens when you have runoff from a spill, or you have some type of contamination? Can you control it? And right, a lot of it's up in the air right now.
And that gets into that diesel fuel, the amount of diesel fuel that's there. You know, reading through those emergency guides, you know, I looked at generator stats, pulled up the applicable fire code that applies to these type of facilities. Data centers are considered to be a level one usage, same as a hospital, because data centers are involved with everything that we do. Everything. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a thing that you might not use a data center for, except for maybe lighting a fire in your backyard and sitting around a campfire and drinking a beer. Well, drinking the beer probably has a data center. So,
uh,
but they involve and they support critical life functions, hospitals, ambulances, those sort of things. And with a level one type usage, that means they can't go offline. They have to have those lithium ion batteries so that if the power goes out, it immediately switches to that backup power so that you have that 10 seconds it takes to start the generators, which can't depend upon the grid to start. They have to do what's called a black start. They have to be able to start instantly. And they can't be natural gas either, because natural gas, local natural gas, depends upon compressors, some are electric. So if there's a regional catastrophe, that could impact the gas supply. So it pretty much has to be a generator. Or, you know, what's being talked about now are those mini nuclear plants. And I think Hilliard's also facing the fuel cell technology that they don't have any control over whether or not it goes into their city, because the public utilities has gotten involved with that.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you what, it's like opening Pandora's box with all this stuff, and you don't know what you're going to get, and what comes out of it may be good for one segment of society, but then it affects everybody down the pike, one way or another.
Fundamentally, what this gets into at a local level is around property rights.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the basis, you know, that's the foundation around zoning. With zoning, yeah, you have your property. You have a right to do with your property. I'm glad the farmer sold it for $86 million, that property. They sold it for $186,000 an acre.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think most farmland right now in our area is going in the $15,000 to $20,000 an acre range, which is still pretty good. So they paid a premium. I'm happy for that family, you know. That's generational changing money. I'm happy for them. However, when you have zoning, their property rights need to be balanced against the property rights of the people who are adjacent to that. And that's where zoning comes into. And there has to be compromises on that. And that's why you have a comprehensive plan, which was just recently updated in Clinton County in 2022, so that people know what to expect, that it's going into that open farm field that's 50 foot from their backyard. And that's part of why people are so aggravated. The comprehensive plan had this designated mixed rural, which would be single family residence and some commercial with the industrial going along U.S. Highway 68. So without updating the comprehensive plan, they went and changed the zoning from basically a mixed rural residential commercial to light industrial. Yeah, I'd be pissed off too.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you
what. And I live two miles from that. It's not in my backyard.
Well, I think I live maybe 3 miles from the proposed ones here. But when I have to drive down to Troy, Ohio, I have to go down Washington Pike. And there, where Washington Pike and Farrington Road cross, to the east of that is going to be the data centers. And I'll tell you what, that's all farmland. But to the north of that, there are plenty of homes, and they're building new homes too.
Well, and that's something that hasn't really been discussed. I touched on it just briefly a couple of weeks ago. You know, just up I-71 from us is the battery plant, which also has, you know, a data center going in there. So you have a new power line that's going in through Sabine to make it up there. But what happened in the heart of that that construction, you could not find a place to live. And that's one of the impacts that's going to have to be taken care of during the construction. Where do those workers live? How do they commute in? The roads coming into Wilmington, we're 7 miles off of I-71. And except for a few miles of bypass around the north part of town, we are all two-lane roads. There is no four-lane here. And we've already have data center related items being shipped through our town. I saw one the other day coming down 68, a generator on a big flatbed. It's like, I don't know, 5-6 axles on the trailer. Wow. And, wide load. Going through our downtown is disrupted. Now we're going to have 252 of those. And we're going to have the construction traffic coming through our town. Or we're going to have a place for these people to stay if we don't want the traffic impacts. That has not been addressed at all around this. And, and people remember the impacts of the battery plant. It was disruptive to housing in Washington Courthouse, Jeffersonville, and even here over 20 miles away in Wilmington. It was disruptive. Rents went from $600-$700 a month to $1,200-$1,500 a month. And Wilmington's median income, Wilmington's not a wealthy city. Wilmington's median income is $48,000 per year for a family of four. Our students all qualify for free and reduced lunches. Everyone at school gets free lunches because of the income of town. So now you're talking about completely disrupting the makeup of our town. The makeup, the part of what makes Wilmington, Wilmington.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's the similarity between the two cities.
Mm-hmm.
Really similar, because you're talking about housing cost of living. I think here we're about, I think, 52,000, 55,000 average. And the rent for condos and so forth, if you go down to Troy, Ohio right now, there are new small condos, single floor, and they're running $1,700 a month for those. And they're the smallest condos I've ever seen. And I go by them and I'm thinking, I'd never want to live in a place like that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, what's the cost going to do up here with the housing? They're going to have to build more houses. The rent's going to go up. People can't afford the rent, except maybe the construction workers. And maybe they're only going to be there for a while, and then they're going to have to move on. We're going to have more hotels to handle the construction workers coming in. And right now we're getting a brand new Hampton Inn, which will be in probably in about 9 months to almost a year. And Troy has, I don't know, they have 6 or 7 hotels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're right on 75 like we are. So I can see a lot of things happening as far as the impact on Farrington Road and Washington Pike. They're two-lane farm roads.
That's what we have here. Wilmington is just under 13,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a bit smaller. Also, Clinton County, I think it's like 42,000 people. The whole county is only 42,000 people. I have lived through the massive growth that happens due to, the internet boom, Silicon Valley. I lived in a community out in California, much like Wilmington, Started off a little bit smaller than Wilmington. It's five times its size now, but all of our growth was spurred by Silicon Valley and Silicon Valley related industries. You know, I have dealt with those impacts. It's not easy, and you've got to understand what's going on. You've got to step down. You know, and I have told people, you got to make up your mind what you want to be when you grow up. And then you make it happen. I call it, you have to have a CTJ meeting and figure out, yeah, this is what we want to do. This is these are the amenities we want to have. This is how much of a population we need to have to support a hospital, to support a community college, and things like that. And then plan your town around the ambitions the people who live in the town have.
Yep. And that's sometimes I think around here, it's been shooting from the hip. Oh, this sounds like a good idea. Let's go ahead and do it. And they don't follow a basic plan. And if there is a plan, they adjust it one way or the other, and it just doesn't, you know, it's like bringing in a lot of different things. We lost our hospital years ago because they decided to combine the two towns, Troy and Piqua, and have a hospital. And both towns had decent hospitals, and then when they went ahead and combined them, then we had a lot of problems after that. Now, hopefully it's all been ironed out after 20 some years, but there's just a lot of things going on. Hey, we're at, we got 3 minutes to go. Do we want to go and have one more session next week?
Let me see. What's next week? I wouldn't mind another session. What's today? The 4th, the 11th. I don't think I can do it next week. I have, okay. I'm active in the Boy Scouts scouting, and it is what they call Friends of Scouting season. And I have a fundraiser.
Yeah, it's that time of year for fundraisers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Quentin, what we'll do, we'll get together and we'll try to figure out when we can do maybe a part four, and find out when the people in Wilmington get together again and have a discussion, and we'll see what
we have our council meeting tomorrow night. There's an executive session on that. I plan on bringing up how they should be complying with NDAs and sunshine laws at my public comments tomorrow night. Would you be interested in having Jess Sharp come and maybe participate in this with me?
Sure.
I think she would be a good addition. You know, because she has more standing in this. Her house, I'm serious, her house is literally, her back door is 50 foot from where this data center project is going to be.
We'll do that. You go ahead and invite her, and I'll send you the link, okay?
Okay.
We'll get together maybe in a couple of weeks. Hey, guys, right. We're running out of time. I've got to say, hey, thanks to Quentin for being on the show. We've all learned a lot. We've all realized that we have a lot of commonality here with everything going on. And data centers, I don't know where we're going with it, guys. So we'll just have to wait and see. But anyhow, thanks for watching the show. Stop back again next Wednesday. We'll be doing other things, and we'll have Quentin and his guest on maybe in a couple of weeks, and we'll get that going. Hey, thanks guys for seeing.
Thank you, and enjoyed it again, Stu.
Oh, we always have a good time. Hey, stop back, check us out Wednesdays, 8 o'clock. See ya. Have a good week.
Good night.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.